Good morning. Okay, this morning the reading is from the book of Jude, and so instead of me reading out, we're trying out the software about the faith come from this hearing of God. So Nay will play the book this morning for you.
Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying,
"Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him."
These are grumblers, malcontents following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, "In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions." It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Okay, let's bow our head. Thank you, Father God, this morning, just really breathing your word into our ears and making it alive in us. Lord, I just ask you to guide me and bless me with sharing this message, and also really softening our heart, an open heart for you to receive the teaching from you. Thank you, Lord, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, I just want to, you know, I know it's quite early in the morning, but I just want to see a show of hands, like, you know, I guess most of you probably have heard about this song, "Greatest Love of All" by Whitney Houston, right? No? Okay, the young one really don't know, shaking their head. I don't want to sing, but it's like, I believe the children are the future, whatever. So for those who know the song, how many of you actually really like this song? No? All of that, I see two hands at the back from the Pastoral staff. No one here? No, not really? Oh, okay. I really love this song. I mean, like, the music is beautiful, the lyric, you know, makes sense, you know, talking about children, talking about good things, like talking about love. And, and singing, it's like, really hear some, the voice and everything, very powerful to the point, you know, really, you know, feeling the emotion that's inside. And so I really like this song, and then until last night. Because I went on to look at the lyric very carefully, and I just realized, hey, what's the song about? It's talk about, you know, initially probably thinking about, oh, teaching children, you know, show them the beauty of the that is processed inside them, about reminding us about the laughter of the children, going back to, you know, it's almost like reminded us, like, you know, childlike faith, I know, the greatest love, you know, that is inside, is happening to me. That sort of thing is really positive. But then if you start looking at the lyric and you say that, you know, the greatest love of all is happening to me, I find the greatest love of all inside me. And you say the greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And then start looking at it, it's like relying on yourself. You know, even, you know, when you fail, you know, when you succeed, you know, when the whole world crumble, one thing remains is your dignity. And I was wondering, what does it mean? You know, one thing remains is dignity when everything crumble. At the end, it's telling you that there's nothing to rely on, but you are the only one that you rely on yourself. And that's not very biblical. And I'm thinking, oh, so it's telling us to rely on ourselves. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I shared about this message on Ephesians, talking about battlefield, that we are 24/7 in the battlefield. And sometimes it's very subtle. We don't even know, you know, we are being affected. And these are the songs that I grew up with, that being, you know, thinking, oh, it's such a nice song, such a beautiful song, talk about children, and it's very positive. And then when you look into it, it's talking about, you are the God yourself, and there's no, you know, and it's remove you from God. You don't rely on God. Don't about, like, God doesn't exist in your world, and so this is very subtle. And so I was thinking, it's the environment that we grow up with, and sometimes we just don't realize that what message that we receive, sugar-coated message that we didn't even know, that is changing the way of we think. This week, one incident keep playing in my mind. If you have noticed, I always share the message like towards the end of the week, because I try to, you know, fight with the person, let me finish, like, do it the end of the week. One of the reasons is I like to prepare, but the other reason is that I like to dialogue with God. Because sometimes when I was doing another thing, God would remind me of a certain incident, and it keep playing. And quite often, it's relevant to the message that I'm going to share. And it's this process of dialogue with God and asking Him why, you know, certain thing happened and certain incident. And this particular incident actually happened on Monday night. I was playing with a kid, 5 years kid, and lovely kid, and all this. And we're playing, you know, fighting game. I tickle them, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think at this particular season, the kids was like slightly aggressive, and in a season of trying to be very nasty and not very nice. And she would say things like, the whole time she would say things, oh, I would love to destroy Auntie Sophia. It's like, well, okay. And then for me, it's like, okay, you're saying, you know, all the nasty thing, I'm going to, you know, do the opposite, be nice, super nice to you in verbally. And she see that doesn't work. And so she stepped up and give the final trump card. And she looked into me and giving me this facial expression very seriously, like, I'm very disappointed in you. A 5-year kid. I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't really care. 5-year old, what's that? I mean, I human, what's disappointed with me? But By looking at the little expression, I know she's using that as a trump card. She's doing things. You know that it hurt people. So we were thinking, okay, so throughout this week, this keep coming in. Even, you know, yesterday when I was leading the prayer part, this instant come in. I was like, oh God, I don't know what to do with it. And then last night I was looking at it and thinking about it. Maybe the kid was hurt by those comments. Like maybe that she know, you know, this how it worked. But the other thing is like 5 year old, and I see that I'm not trying to paint a really evil picture because it's a lovely kid. But it's the manipulation. They know how to hurt. They know how it works. And 5 year old. And giving you the background of this 5 year old, she grew up in a very good Christian family. Both parents, you know, godly people, very nice, and also the children go to Sunday school, you know, from the very young age. And I love seeing children pray. It's so beautiful. They like little angel closing the eye and saying the Lord's Prayer or whatever. You see, children's very beautiful. And, you know, when I first became a Christian, I was an adult. I always thinking, you know, if, you know, I know Christ earlier, it would be so beautiful. You know, they are soaking in God's love from the very young age, and they would turn out all right. And then by the time I joined the youth group, I realized, you know, one of the greatest challenges for youth group minister is that it's not the, you know, kids from others, like, you know, don't know God before. It's the second generation Christians. They've been to the Sunday school day in and day out from the very young age, so they thought they know it all. And then they lost that personal relationship. You know, when they're young, they learn about God, they pray to God, and God is real. But along the line, they become, I don't know, thinking they know it all, and it's not doing the magic trick anymore. And that kind of, you know, is a, they, people would try to think, you know, how to reach out to the second generation Christians, that sort of thing. And I'm looking at it, and I was asking, you know, what exactly are we talking about here? You know, children that grow up in very good environment and all this, yet they are affected because they are living in, we are living in the world as well. So we have competing values from the enemy trying to come in. We create a good Christian environment for them, but at the same time, they go to school, they meet with children, and even Sunday school children, they carry their baggage and go to Sunday school, and that impacts the whole environment. And this is exactly in the book of Jude, the background, why this book was written. It's written to Christians. It's telling them during this last time, before Jesus come back, the environment that Christians are living in. Talking about false teaching that is in church. Talking about the temptation they will be facing. There are chances that Christians will stumble. And that here this morning, I want to just focus on two verses. It's verse 20 and 21. The whole book is a lot of good information in it, good teaching in it, and definitely it's like helping us, you know, how to stay in our faith. So can we quickly look at verse 3, that the purpose that is saying that Jude want to write here is that, beloved, while I was making effort to write to you about your common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you, contending earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saint. The purpose of, you know, Jude here is telling us that you need to contend with the faith. Contending meaning, you know, holding on to it, fighting to it, and staying on to it. And verse 20, because of time, I just want to focus on verse 20 and 21. And it says here, but you, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Can we just look at this sentence? This is something I learned in seminary, but I think it. And you don't have to go to seminary to look at grammar and structure. But if you look at this sentence, the main verb is keep yourself in the love of God. I think this is the key sometimes, is that for us to stay strong in the faith, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. In this sentence, you can see that it's three, one main verb, which is keep yourself in the love of God. And there are three participle. And interesting to just look at them. The first one is building yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The first part, participle is waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Sometime I just want to share with you, you know, sometime when you meditate on God's word, also meditate on the grammar too. Because the positions they put on to the participle actually have different meaning to it. I would say the first two is like instrumental. Always, a lot of time, you know, we'll ask ourselves, you know, he has asked us to keep yourself in the love of God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? And the hints that he gave us here is that building yourself up on your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit will help you to build yourself in the love of God. So let's look at like some word study on the word keep yourself in the love of God. The word keep here, it has the sense of urgency. It has the continuous tense, like, you know, always hear Pastor Sam say, it is a present imperative. It's a continuous action. So it's a continual action that we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. And how we do it here, suggesting to us, is building yourself on the most holy faith. Looking at this sentence, you know, sometimes, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean by keeping, building yourself up on the most holy faith? The faith here, I would say that it's not just a head knowledge, like common salvation. We are saved by God. And this definitely is the assurance of salvation that coming in, right? Saying this is our faith. But faith always remind me of the passage from James. Faith without actions is dead. So it's talking about faith that also come with a matching action, showing, demonstrating. It's not just the thinking, but also living out that faith. And this faith have an adjective to it, most holy. Then question is, what does it mean by most holy? A lot of time when you do through, you know, Bible study and stuff like that, you look through the book and the passage before and after to see what the hints that can tell you more about what is being spoke about here. So most holy, if we heard about a passage this morning, but I just keep quickly go over with you that the early passage talk about ungodly people. The heading of my Bible here say the warning of the history of the ungodly. So in a sense that, you know, when we try to understand what is most holy, we also look at what is unholy. And this morning I just quickly go through the list with you. If we go to verse 4, it says, these people, they turn the grace of God, our God, to the unbridled lust and deny Jesus Christ as their only Lord Savior. These are the people that remove God from the center. These are the people that the greatest love of all the songs is about yourself. Basically, it's removing God from being the master and Lord of your life. Verse 7 and 8, they are the one who indulge in gross immorality. They reject God, dominion and authority, and revel in the angelic majesty. Verse 10, these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and for the things they do understand, they act by instinct like unreasonable animal. Next one, I think this one actually catch many of us. Verse 16, these are grumblers, finding fault. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining and advantages. Verse 17 and 18, these people are mockers, following after their own ungodly lust, the one who caused division. The division here could be division in the church and also dividing themselves from God. And they are worldly-minded, devoid of spirit. This definitely gives us a hint of what is ungodly. And so in understanding how to build ourselves on the most holy faith, this area definitely is the area that you don't go into. Learning also by example is also later on in the passage. It talk about, you know, these are contrast ungodly people. Then we also learn from this the apostle and also learn from other people who are godly people. And if we quickly go down to verse 24, it talk about, you know, people that are loved by God, or 24 and 25, they are the one that who actually stand in the presence of the glory, blameless, with great joy. The other side of the coin is that they have Lord Jesus Christ right in the center, being the master in their life. And that give us some hints on, you know, what is the most holy faith, keeping our belief in God and also a matching behavior. And another word that here they use is building. It's not overnight. Like this faith that we talk about, we see, you know, everyone always emphasize this is a journey of faith. It's a journey and it's a building on. When you build a high-rise building, you don't have it overnight. It's a step-by-step process. So I just want to encourage you, and also, you know, it's a building. Today, you might not have reached that standard. Doesn't matter, because it's a continuous thing that adding on to it. And the second thing that really help us to keep ourselves in the love of God is praying in the Spirit. Obviously, praying in tongues, you know, help. But here, I believe it mentioned, it's more, it's your connection with God, your day in and day out connection with God, and how you go into the presence of God, how you pray in accord with the Holy Spirit, how you stay. Praying is not one-way communication, just praying to God, but it's a dialogue with God, back and forth, back and forth. You ask God. It's like I shared earlier my process of, you know, talking to God. Sometimes, you know, incident come into your mind, and you can always ask God, what is the incident relevant to me? You know, the incident I talk about, the 5-year kids, I actually went through this process of asking God, is it for me? Is it something that I have the disappointment in life that I have to deal with? Is if it's come from, you know, from someone that, you know, authority like Pastor Sam or, you know, my parents, will I actually be hurt? Is it some undealing hurt? And I having this conversation with God, and he say, no, and back and forth, and he gradually unveiled it to me. And I just really enjoy this process of talking to him, and he's showing me, oh, no, this time it's another things. And the thing is, it's an interaction. It's checking your spirit. It's like you ask God, is this? And then you sense it in your heart. I was like, oh, no, this time you're healed. This time you're so much better. It's not... So this process is quite enjoyable, and I hope that you also have this enjoyable process with the Lord too. And we early on talk about, you know, there's three participle here: the building yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and there is this last bit about waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to the eternal life. It put after the keeping yourself in love. So it seems to be there's a sequence. Is that at the moment, if you look at the sentence it's talking about, is from now we're waiting, but it's for eternal life. It's a continuous going on. It's a future. So in a way, if I rephrase this sentence, it's like, keep yourself in the love of God while waiting anxiously for the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And what does this sentence really giving me is a sense of hope that God is coming. He's definitely coming. He's there. And he has mercy. And the word waiting, if you look at other translations, some is waiting. Here is waiting anxiously. I went back to, you know, the original text. It's only just one word. But interestingly, how they translated waiting anxiously. And this morning, I was like, you know, thinking about, you know, what exactly this anxiously sitting here is that, you know, when we play... go back to the incident about the little kid, is that, you know, there's something to worry. You know, even they grow up in a very nice environment, they got affected negatively, adversely, to an extent that, you know, shocking to our system. And this is the reality sometimes, is that we give them the best environment, things could go wrong. And that is the anxiousness that's coming through. But at the same time, I want to emphasize is that there's hope in God. The journey doesn't end at this point, at this particular point, that incident on Monday that I have with the kids, because the kids will continue to grow. And we have her story about people lost the faith. You know, they were great in Sunday school, and then when they go to teenagers, they left God. But those seated, the word that been sowing in their life does not go in vain. It will come back to them. If you hear, you know, story about pastor and that, how they come back to God, sometimes it's just like one instant they felt, you know, I have to go back to God. But those are the seeds are not wasted. So I keep reminding myself is that, you know, the situation sometimes we might see in certain brothers and sisters very not very positively, but there's still hope. That's still, as long as, you know, the person still stay in, on course, as long as you're still praying for them, that there are always hope. And this is how I, this morning when I look at this, oh yes, we definitely have that anxiousness, but at the same time, we know that there is mercy of God, that there is His coming. And then just to close this, I want to use this analogy. Have you guys looked at like oranges that got molds on it? Because I really don't like eating fruit, but sometimes I just like, okay, I'll be healthy and I would buy fruit at home. But I would just look at them. I just like, don't want to eat. And so quite often I will have like rotten oranges in my house. Terrible. But I remember like last year I was doing my sermon preparing for my school and I was like, oh, I need illustration, what to do? And so I look at a molded orange, how did it work? Can I use that as an illustration? And I look at the oranges, they have the right bit and then there's this green thing, this green mold in it. And I went onto the internet and study what's mold. And the mold actually doesn't die. It stays on the food. And it's waiting for the right environment, right temperature, right moisturizing, and we go into and eating away, you know, the whole fruit. And once again, this remind me it's the environment where we place on. Okay, so how do we keep the fruit fresh? Apparently, in Japan, there's this crazy freezing system called self-alive system. You can put in that fridge for 2 years. Out of like tuna fish, and it will like a fresh sashimi when you take it out, and it doesn't destroy the texture. It keep remain having the same texture, the freshness, even fresher than they were before, apparently. And yeah, so you can look it up. It's called CAS, self alive system, and really that reminds me is the environment too. It's where we keep ourselves. Are we keeping our environment that where the mole is like, Satan is like the mole ready, and any moment when it's ready, it will go and eat you away. But if you keep yourself in the love of God, if you keep you inside in this fridge, that doesn't destroy you. Keeping it actually make you more, refresh you. And so this is the analogy, it's like keeping yourself in the love of God. So I hope you like this morning's message. And I really, it's my prayer that, you know, that we strive to. It's not an easy effort, but it's an enjoying process too. If you keep dialogue with God, He doesn't really disappoint you. But there are times that's tough, but I really see the hope that is He keeps generating in us as long as we keep seeking after Him, as long as we keep ourselves in the love of God.
For the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus, my heart is glad that you've called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love, in your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. I sing a simple song. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you've called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, holding me near in your arms.
This morning, let's just, you know, really spend some time in also reflecting to, like, you know, what environment are we putting us into? You know, sometimes, you know, workplace, you have no choice, but friends that you associate with, you have a choice to it. And just meditate, you know, the environment that we are in, you know, don't let, you know, thought will come through from God, you know, every day passing us by. Try to get hold of, catch those one. The message that sometimes is carried, a warning from God, reminding you, you know, be careful. The message that there are songs that is coming, you know, the greatest of all. I have this song played in my head, you know, 2 weeks ago. It keep coming up, and I didn't take any action to it until last night God reminded me, you know, look into this lyric. And I think, oh, this is where I was putting myself in. And so this morning, just spend a bit time and just let God speak to you. Maybe people that, you know, you should not be associated with, or maybe that media, certain thing that you should be aware of. So let's spend a little time on that. And also, let's pray for our Friday focus. But before we go to that, I just want to share with you Grace Chung, who is actually flying off to Cambodia tomorrow for 2 weeks to see whether there's mission opportunity for her in the future. So let's lift her up in prayer and ask that God to cover her, protect her during this journey, and really ask God to raise up connections, hook her up into, you know, this, she felt this is a direction that God led her to, but it's a process. So really covering her and ask God to give her favor into people that she meets, and also give her a very acute discernment who to associate with, who to make the connection with. Friday focus is on the local churches, YWAM, Face to Face, Junction College, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solitarian Worldwide. Especially for Hong Kong, the churches, all the Christians that coming together, serving in the Kingdom of God. I pray for them, for guidance, protections, and for their work to really impact the city. Thank you. praying for our Saturday and Sunday ministry, the worship team, welcoming team, men and women's ministry, and also for the local outreach. We're going off tomorrow to the Western District to share the gospel, share God's love. So there is about 15 of us going, so pray for each one of them, and pray for protection, pray for wisdom for each one of them. And also most important is pray for God pour out their love, so that when they work in the territory, they carry the love of God with them, and pray for the people to be touched by God. Also tonight, that's Mekong culture, and also Sunday, that's Beijing culture. And also pray for Sunday, the youth group tonight, and also pray for Sunday service. Pastor Sam has not been well, so but really ask that God really cover him and strengthen him, and continue to anoint him with his mouth when he share his message, and to touch people. Also, if I want to also spend some time, let's pray for our congregations. Last Sunday, I saw these pictures of us on the second service, that when someone put up their hands, and you know, the usual thing is like for SP people to come around them and pray for them. But I don't know whether because it had been such a things that have been going on for a long time, people start not looking around. And I see hands being put up and no one go to pray for them for a while. And I was saddened by this. So really, let us pray that our heart don't turn cold. You know, this, let the heart be changed and not turn cold. So pray for our congregations. Finally, let's pray for the SP move, praying as we go forward with God's visions. Let's pray for the patient heart waiting for how God delivered to us, and also keep pushing in even though when we don't see things happening as yet. Father God, I just really come before you and really give thanks to you, Lord, because, you know, through Pastor Sam, through other pastor, and through a reading from the Bible, and through a lot of other things that we see your hands in our life, Lord, we see that how you love us, Lord. I know sometimes that, you know, could be past experience, past hurt that's blocking us from receiving that love that you have for us. But you keep reminding me and reminding us that, you know, that love is all around us. And Lord, that, you know, it's difficult how to keep ourselves in the love, in that love of yours. And I just ask that make it easier for us, you know, remove that things, that impurity that in this now environment. Help us to be, you know, give us a discernment to say no, to discern and also to say no to things that is taking us away from you, Lord. And Lord, that I just really just leave ourselves to you and ask that, Lord, take care of us. And when we are waiting anxiously, again, this anxiously is not for anxious for ourselves, but also anxious for our brothers and sisters. That seeing them in a Christian environment, their chance that they stumble, let's pray that we have that compassion. Even when they stumble, we walk with them. Even when they rejected us, that you still strengthen us so that we can stand alongside with them, ready to be there for them when you call us to. Lord, all this requires this great love from you, Lord. So keep pouring out this great love over us, Lord, helping us to build on our faith, the most holy faith, Lord. Praying that, you know, every time we go before you, pray and talking to you, you're always there with us. Thank you, Lord. And I will pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.